Tempest, Mark's here. My dad's voice floated up the stairs. I'll be down in a minute. I slipped into my shoes, a pair of killer black stilettos that would murder my feet before the night was over, and took one last look in the mirror. I was wearing a dress from my sophomore year in high school, from the one dance Mark hadn't taken me to. It was short and black and hugged me in all the right places. I wore fishnet stockings to cover the burns on my ankles and gloves to do the same for my fingers. The result was a slightly goth look that wasn't quite me, but one that I found myself liking anyway. At least I'd look good when I destroyed my life. I started down the hall, paused outside of Rio's door. Loud music was playing, System of a Down's Chop Suey. And I almost kept walking. But I couldn't stand the thought of leaving without trying one more time to patch things up with my brother. If nothing else, I wanted to let him know that he wouldn't be alone when he turned 17. If I wasn't there to help him, I would make sure Mahina was. I opened the door without bothering to knock, first because I didn't think he'd hear me, and second because, even if he did, I doubted that he'd let me in. He was lying on his bed, face buried in a comic book. It took him a minute to notice me. But when he did, he shouted, "Get out!" "Rio, did you hear me? I said get out!" "I want to talk to you. Why should I listen to anything you have to say? You'll be gone in a few days, and who knows when you'll be back." The truth of those words nearly brought me to my knees. "Maybe that's why you should listen. Because you don't know when you'll see me again."
"Your choice, not mine."
"What about your choice? What about when you turn 17? He snorted.
"Well, I'm not going to make the same choices you did. I'm not weak like you and Mom. I won't run out on Moku and Dad the way you did."
He scrambled off the bed, crossed to where his iPod was docked, turned the speakers up super loud. A giant get lost signal if I'd ever seen one.
"I love you,"
I told him, getting ready to leave.
"What?"
he asked with a sneer.
"I didn't hear you."
"I said I love you."
"Yeah."
He gave me a dismissive nod, then turned to fiddle with his tablet. I was almost out the door when he turned the music back down to a semi-reasonable level. Still, I almost missed him saying,
"You're leaving."
I stared at him.
"What?"
"I can always tell. You get the same look on your face. I'm right, aren't I? You're planning on leaving tonight, aren't you?"
"Tomorrow."
"Typical." This time, when he crossed the room, it was to get up in my face.
"Do you ever get tired of just walking away?"
"Every day of my life." He looked uncertain, like my response had surprised him.
"Then why do it?"
I didn't know what to say at first. Didn't have a clue how to explain to Rio how things were without freaking him out completely. But then I looked at him, really looked at him, this boy who was almost a man. And I knew I couldn't prevaricate or sidestep the question. Not anymore. Not when, in a few years, his safety would depend on it. "Rio, there's a lot going on under the ocean. Battle lines have been drawn. People are dying. More will die if I don't try to stop what's happening."
"But what about us? Don't you want—"
"It's because of you that I'm trying to stop what's happening. When I turned 17, I was thrust into the middle of a war zone with barely any help or direction. I don't want that same thing for you or Moku."
"I won't be Mur." He tilted his chin defiantly. "I'm totally on board with that.
But I thought the same thing right up to my 17th birthday. Things change, Rio.
Only because people change them."
I smiled sadly. "Sometimes it's circumstances, not people, that cause the change. Sometimes all you can do is go along for the ride.
And sometimes you can get off the ride. You can choose right now not to go back, but you won't do that."
"I can't do that. I don't believe you."
"I'm sorry, Rio. I never meant to hurt any of you."